something for the weekend. It's Trina Murray here, and I was told that Aunt McPartlin was coming in, but apparently there was some error on the email, so we're joined by Anna McPartlin. Good morning.
Hi, Trina. How are you? God, that's very disappointing for you.
Where's Jack?
What a terrible start.
So listen, we all know you as the best-selling author, always busy, 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 going mad, and doing writing for TV as well. I know you've done a lot on Holby City, and you did that amazing TV series that Amy Huberman starred in on RTE.
That's right.
Tell us a bit about that.
Striking Out. Yeah, it was a great opportunity, actually. I really enjoyed it. It was super. So Blinder Productions do that. And I had a relationship with Yvonne in Blinder for a couple of years. And when they were doing the second series, she called me and said, would you be interested? And got into the writer's room and had a ball. Yeah, so we had great fun. But she didn't really have that much great fun on screen during...
So Striking Out, this was the legal drama. The husband, she was working with the husband in the solicitors, and then she discovered he was having an affair.
So they were fiancés. He was her fiancé.
They were about to get married.
Yeah, yeah. And it was her hen night. That's right.
Yes.
And she caught him.
That's it. And it was very awkward because he was in with the family and her family loved him and all this.
That's right. Yeah. So for season one, her mother was trying to get her back with him. And then season two, she kind of found her own way. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Oh, it was brilliant. Because she set up the office. She had to get out of the office that she was working from because he was there. Everything was awkward. And she set up and she got the help of that guy who was, she ended up defending.
That's right.
As well. Yeah.
Yes, that's right. Ray.
See, I did watch it.
I'm very impressed with you.
apart from that and writing all the books for adults, you've just written your first children's book. So how did you think about doing this one? Was it because of David McWilliams laughing all the way to the bank?
No, it definitely wasn't because of that. I just always wanted to write a kid's book. And it was really weird because I was so naive when I got my first book deal 100 years ago now with Poolbeg. The second book that I pitched the publisher was this book. So I thought, I got a 3-book deal and I thought I could write anything. I just thought, oh, well, I'm a storyteller. You know, anything, like anything that's a story. And she looked at me like I was bananas and went, Anna, your demographic don't want to read children's stuff. And I was going, but why? I couldn't understand why I couldn't just deliver the books that I wanted to deliver. So anyway, she explained it to me and I realised, oh yes, that makes sense, yes. So then I went ahead and did the 3 books, fulfilled that contract, and then I got another contract for adults and I knew what I was doing then, so I just kept going, and then the TV stuff. But this story was always there.
In the back of your head.
In the back of my mind, and always playing along. And I remember a few years ago I was at the Kilkenny Cats Laughs Festival and I got into a lift and there was Jerry Stenbridge, the director, and I said, this is brilliant, I've 3 floors with him, and I pitched him the idea.
That must have made 3 seconds time in a lift,
like,
was it?
No,
3 floors.
I was like, no, I followed him right out and we kept going. But I pitched him the idea kind of as a film because he's a director, and he said, I love the idea, it's really strong, but I'm telling you now, you're not going to get a cast of all kids unless the people know that it's going to be something that people want to see. You know what I mean? So like, if it was another property. So I thought about it again and I went off and I did some TV stuff and then I got busy again, and then it just came back, and I turned to my agent about 2 years ago and I said, look, I know nobody's waiting for Anna McPartlin to write a kid's book. I know that, right? But I really want to take some time out to do it. What do you think? And initially she was like, oh, I don't know. And then I told her the story and she went, do it.
Yeah. So it's called The Fearless Five.
That's right.
By Banny McPartlin.
Banny McPartlin. Yeah.
So tell us the story of it then.
So basically it's set against the summer of 1990, the Italia World Cup.
Italia 90! The best summer ever.
I know.
Yeah.
I've been doing a tour talking to all the kids in Easton's and Dubray and going into classes, and I opened the whole thing with, who knows what the World Cup is, and they all put up their hands, and I tell them, I go back in time to when Ireland was kind of a grey place where no one felt that they could get anywhere or do anything. We were coming off a terrible recession and it was just brown Ireland and grey Ireland, and then the lads qualified for the Italian 1990 Cup, World Cup, and the skies opened up and the blue skies came and the clouds disappeared and the sun shone down on Ireland and we lost our minds.
And you know, the funny thing about that is some kids think that we actually won the World Cup. No, we didn't even come close to winning it.
Quarterfinals.
That was good enough for us.
And it was absolutely good enough
for us. Will you ever forget the cars, everybody out in the street, all the cars beeping. There's some footage online of the Walkinstown roundabout around Italia 90 and all you can hear are the cars beeping like mad. The shops were shut. Everywhere was shut.
Some of them were open. One of the reasons I got the idea for the book was that I remember passing a garage and the garage was, there was an American tourist. They must have been American tourists. They just had that look of shock looking around at all this madness. And basically the garage was empty. The lads had gone to the pub and left the place open. And these Americans are just putting the money on the counter. Like, and I remember thinking, even the criminals have taken time off. Even the, nobody's out.
No, like, there must have been no crime at that time.
It was insane, and kids lost the run of it. It's such a magical time, and I thought, what a great time to place these five kids, because they're 12 years of age and one of their mums is very sick, and basically they're kind of, the medical profession in Ireland have given up hope, and one of the kids is the brain box of the outfit, right, Walker, and he's basically, and it's, remember, it's before Google, it's before Wi-Fi, and he tells the kids if they can get the mom to America, the Americans will save her,
right,
and send her home. And it's against this background then that they're desperate and they decide to rob a garage to get the ticket fare while the World Cup is on. And then it goes, they'll go on a major adventure.
Amazing. So is it aimed at boys or girls, or does it matter?
Both.
Yeah.
So it's four boys and there's a little girl called Charlie and she's decided that she wants to hang with them. And our narrator is Jeremy, and he is basically suspicious of women. He's not that fond of hanging around with a girl and he can't work out why she wants to be there, but she will not take no for an answer.
Okay. All right. So we're talking 8 to 11 year olds.
Yes, that's right.
Okay. Lovely, lovely. Did you try out the story on any 8 to 11 year olds and see how they thought?
Absolutely did. So the first three chapters I handed it to my pal Valerie's little girl, Laura, and she was 10 at the time. And I said, look, you know, Laura's, read it, tell me what you think. And she came back and she went, right, Ban, it's like this. I don't like that. I don't need to know about that. Why do I need to know about that? That's not important. I want to know about this. I like this and I like this and I do not like that.
A 10-year-old editor.
Absolutely. And she was spot on. What I was doing was, I was writing description that adults like, but their kids are like, get to the point. Tell the story. And so I learned an awful lot, and she was right there through for the whole thing. And the reason I'm called Banny as opposed to Anna is not just because I don't want the kids to confuse my name. It's also because all the kids in my life call me Banny.
Banny. And was she looking for a fee afterwards for her advice?
Oh, she gets paid. Yeah. It's an ongoing thing. She's been paid since she was born.
I tell you what, there's these little 10-year-old business women around the place. My niece is one of them. I tell you, she'd buy and sell you. She set up a lemonade stand last summer and she made 70 euro within about half an hour.
You are joking.
I'm telling you. And do you know what she actually, this will give you a laugh. She said that she went in and she got changed after a few minutes out of her outfit into a different outfit, into a pair of dungarees, and she put her hair in pigtails and she said she wanted to get the cute factor. So she thought that would increase sales.
And it did.
Yeah.
I love her.
Yeah. Amazing. Amazing. I think she's going to have her own empire in the next 10 years or so. So this is absolutely fantastic. I love your website. I was just having a look before you came in. You describe yourself as a feeder and a lazy workaholic.
Yes, I am. Yeah, I am. So I love feeding people. So I cook, I bake, I do everything, and I feed everyone until they're sick. You know that person?
Yeah.
Like Mrs. Doyle about it, you know,
okay.
go on. And I'm heartbroken if you don't love it, you know. And then the workaholic, I describe myself as a lazy workaholic because I'm always working, but I like to do nothing else.
Right.
You know what I mean? Unless I'm working or I'm feeding or I'm doing Nothing.
And what about the flatulent dogs?
Oh yeah, so I have three currently flatulent dogs. So two of them are very, very old. They're ancient. They're kind of mixed terriers. And then I have a Poggle, and she's only 1.5. And my God, she gives them a run for their money.
So if you want somebody to leave the room, bring the dog in.
Oh God. And my husband brings tears to his eyes. He's like, how is this possible? How is it possible?
Are you feeeding the dogs as well?
Yeah. Oh yes, I'm feeding them properly. But apparently Poggles have this thing, and so do pugs.
They fart?
Yeah, that they basically...
And they look so cute.
Yeah, their snouts are so small. They breathe in the air and it goes into their belly and it kind of ferments or something. I don't know what it is, but it basically, yes, I believe it, they are manky to smell.
Isn't it funny the way they slink out of the room then when it happens, and you're looking at your husband going, was that you?
Well, I used to have a dog that would slink out. She'd be mortified. She was a massive dog, an old English foxhound, and she was horrified. This one just looks up at you. Not a bother on her. Thrilled.
Listen, Anna, it's been so great to have you in. Thanks so much for coming in. Should I be calling you Anna or Banny?
I don't know who you are today. You decide.
So the new book is out now. It's called The Fearless Five by Banny McPartlin. So perfect if you've got an 8 to an 11 year old at home, or roughly around that age. You never know. It might be nice for the adults as well. Thanks so much for coming in. We'll see you soon.
Thank you so much.
This is Something for the Weekend on Classic Hits.